Today's message is covenant, no matter the cost. Now, covenant is a word that is rarely used today. It's an archaic word. And it's misunderstood in today's modern applications. But because of its misunderstanding and loss of its rich context, people don't understand the mighty benefits that God is trying to bring to the church so that His people can benefit from His presence and His covenant. You see, Irene's upstairs. She's going to do a little teaching about covenant with the kids. And there are 9 covenants, all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All of them. And every blessing, every promise, everything that God has said, from the Edenic prophecy to the eternal covenant, are ours in Jesus Christ. Whether you believe it or not, what He says is ours to the church. And He expects in covenant relationship for His people to understand what this really entails, the depth of what we're going to do today, and hopefully in the future be repeated more and more and more, is that the strength of the church is built on men, not the women. And today, we're going to honor 3 men who have really come to understand the depth of what it means and understand my heart and vision and really have said, Pastor, I want to come alongside. What do I need to do? Pastor, how can I become more of what God has created me to be? Pastor, how can I serve you and serve the church? And these men have counted the cost, and it didn't matter what I asked of them. They paid the price because it doesn't matter. The cost does not matter. What matters is the relationship. And this is what God is trying to get His people to understand. Covenant is an established relationship between 2 or more parties who willingly bind themselves together with specific obligations and promises and definitive curses that are laid upon them if they do not fulfill their part of the covenant. Covenant can be better understood as a treaty or an alliance or a pledge to fulfill a prescribed destiny. Streams, God has destined us to greatness. Whether you understand that, whether you believe it, the truth is, each and every one of you are destined to greatness. And these are just the first who are standing up. They've gone through, yesterday we celebrated the last of our basic training in men's. And I encourage you guys who who haven't been part of men's, that you have so much baggage that you need to get rid of in order to be even considered to go on with God. That you need to deal with your past and deal with it and get rid of it. Because your past will hold you from becoming that which Christ has apprehended you for and paid for you to become. He has set you free from your past. God is the originator of covenant. And as I said, He started with Adam and Eve. And today covenant is better understood through the mystery of marriage. Marriage is a covenant between one man and one woman who make vows to each other or promises to each other to fulfill. It's what they're saying basically is all that I am and all that I have is yours. And it doesn't matter. We have a destiny to fulfill because God brought us together and we're going to do it with His help. And if not, the curse of unfulfillment is divorce. And God hates it. God hates divorce. When we enter into covenant relationship, there is no separation. God will do all He can to help us fulfill the vows of the covenant. And in the eternal covenant, He has done it all that we don't have to sweat the small stuff. What do I mean by that? For all of us who have been born again of the Spirit, who have committed our lives to Jesus Christ, we know we're going to heaven. We know that as we grow and we grab a hold of the things of the kingdom and serve one another and serve people and really preach the gospel and go and win those who have not heard the truth of Jesus Christ, these are called predestined good works in Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians 1. We have been predestined to good works. Isn't that what we're studying? You see, church is not a place where we sit in the pew. The church is being active. It's an organization or an organism that is active in reproducing itself and also expanding itself. As a child is born of a seed and an egg, that egg continuously grows and metamorphoses itself to a point of becoming a child. And once through that gestation period, enters into the world. And then we have the honor of raising the child in the admonition of God. They are not ours. They are God's. And we are accountable to God because that's the covenant that He has given to us that we have to partake. And the seriousness of covenant, this is not something that one enters in lightly. You may have entered in lightly to your relationship to Jesus Christ. And I ask you to rethink your position. God tells us out of Deuteronomy 28 and 29. He gives us the curses and the blessings, and He tells us to choose life. Choose the blessings. Do what He tells you to do and you will have everything and so much more that your house cannot contain the blessings. That's being in true covenant relationship with God. What makes a covenant? Well, a covenant has three, a minimum of three elements. There are words or vows. They are verbal words that bind the parties together. God warns us to fulfill your vows. Do not enter in lightly to this. Second is the blood of the covenant. It is a life and death commitment of serving Jesus Christ and what He has done. The best way that we have that is through communion. And the four of us will take communion to enter into this covenant relationship. The third is the seal of this covenant. It's a tangible witness. Something that reminds us. In marriage, it's our rings. And this here, it's weaponry. Each man will have a sword. And on the sword, in Greek, is etched in here. It says, no matter the cost. No matter the cost. And believe me, these guys have gone through some tough things that I've asked them to do that you may say, well, that's no biggie. It is when you understand what they've had to go through because they're asking something of me also. And they already know my commitment to them. And to streams. And I don't take that commitment very lightly. Because I understand, as these men understand, We will all stand before God and give an account as to how we dealt with covenant relationship. Turn to Mark if you have your Bibles. Mark 12. And we're going to look at a couple things just so we can hone in on this idea. Mark 12, verses 29 through 31. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "The most important one," Jesus answered, "is hear, O Israel. Hear, O streams. The Lord our God is one God." Hear, streams, that God is one God. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." When we enter into this covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, it's all or nothing. It's not your half-hearted attempt. It's all of you. Because He's given us all of Him. And the fullness of the Godhead now dwells where? In us. And then he says the second is like this: "Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than this." Entering into covenant relationship is a love relationship. First God, we need to be in right relationship with Him in covenant. Because we need this relationship to maintain this relationship in covenant. And the church is not teaching that. The church is not teaching how important it is. The church is teaching it's a collective of all faiths. You can believe whatever you want as long as you're free in Jesus. That's not what the Scriptures are teaching us. We're in relationship. We're in covenant relationship. I am willing to lay my life down for each and every one of you. And these men are coming to understand the same thing. Because I laid my life down for the King already. It's no longer I that live, but Him who lives through me. So when I get emphatic about covenant and talk about New Testament and I talk about the church, I want you to understand how much I love you, but I don't love you like the Lord loves you. And how much He is committed to each and every one of us. And we have to get past this nitpicking with each other. We have to get past the bottom rung stuff. When Israel left Egypt, there was none sick, none injured, none lame. They were all one in God. And they robbed the world, Egypt, of its wealth. Why? Because God ordains it. And God ordains for us to love each other. 1 John 4, 19 through 21 says, John is saying this, he says, "If anyone says, I love God, if I love God, yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. We love because he first loved us. And he has given us this commandment: whoever loves God must also love his brother." Why? Because we're in covenant relationship with each other. Because of God, not because I picked Nikki because she's so cute and beautiful. God brought us together to be in relationship with each other, to accomplish great things. We're in covenant relationship. And when we say, you know what, I love Stephen, but I don't love little Nolan. Get over it. Get over it.
Yeah.
I do what I want. But understand, guys, that getting saved is but the entrance into the kingdom. There is so much more. There is so much more. And Satan has our heads turned back to what we had instead of looking to Jesus, to what he wants to give us. He wants to give us the kingdom. But you can only take the kingdom by force. If you don't take it, it suffers. Today, I'm honored to call up three men. Who have counted the cost. Who realize that it's not just me and Jesus. It's not bless me, Jesus. It's not gimme, gimme, gimme. It's how can I serve the Master? Because that's who we all serve, is the Master. These men are desires of deeper things. These men are desires to serve you better. These men are interested in building the house of God. Caught it. And they understand that today is a transition, a spiritual transition, a spiritual transformation that is coming upon streams today. There is a multiplication that's happening in the household of God. That it'll no longer be just pastor heading this ministry up, but three sons who are desirous, unique in their gifts and talents, and who are worthy of the calling that God has put upon them. I call up today Dan Garlick. I call up Ed Pasternak. I call up Gary Podozic. Each one of you, I'm going to read a vow. And you can repeat it, or you can say, I will. Dan, do you freely submit yourself to the will of the King, Lord Jesus Christ, for the purpose of expanding His kingdom, defending the innocent, the widowed and the orphaned, to live in unity in the fellowship of the eternal priesthood and defend the faith by living in godliness, holiness, and peace with all men? Will you fight to set captives free? Will you preach the good news of the kingdom of heaven while destroying strongholds that keep men captive from the truth? Will you give your all that you are and all that you have to glorify the King no matter the cost?
I will.
Ed, will you freely submit yourself to the will of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the purpose of expanding His kingdom, defending the innocent, the widowed and the orphaned? Will you live in unity in the fellowship of the eternal priesthood and defend the faith by living in godliness, holiness, and peace with all men? Will you fight to set captives free? Will you preach the good news of the kingdom of heaven while destroying strongholds that keep men captive from the truth? Will you give all that you are and all that you have to glorify your King, no matter the cost? Gary, will you freely submit yourself to the will of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the purpose of expanding His kingdom, defending the innocent and the widowed and orphaned? Will you live in unity in the fellowship of the eternal priesthood and defend the faith by living in godliness, holiness, and peace with all men? Will you fight to set captives free? Preach the good news of the kingdom of heaven while destroying strongholds that keep men captive from the truth? Will you give all that you are and all that you have to glorify your King, no matter the cost?
I will.
Now these men have made a vow. And this vow is not taken lightly, because in the vow, their families are part of this. It's not just a covenant relationship between these men and myself before God. It's a covenant relationship between their families and my family before God's family. And that's why he says there's such a great cloud of witnesses before us. The next thing is we're going to take communion. This is the body of Jesus Christ. It's not broken. It's one. When we come to Jesus Christ, we are completing His body. We are but a small part of a world body of believers. Take, eat. Take, eat. Take. Eat. And the covenant is solidified, as we know in the sacrifice, from the time of Mount Moriah to the time of Golgotha. It has been all covenant, broken down for us to understand, and completed in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "This is my blood poured out for you. This is the blood of the new covenant." We are in a new covenant, filled with mercy and grace. Take, drink. Take, drink. And as the king and the leader of the church, there is a dubbing. And the dubbing is into knighthood. And knighthood declares chastity, purity, chivalry, all the good things that God is, that He wants His men to exhibit. And so I dub you, Daniel, by the power that is in me through Jesus Christ our King. I dub you, Edward. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the power that is in me, I dub you, Gary. In the power and the name of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the power in me. And then, the symbolism to remind each man no matter the cost, Jesus counted the cost, and He looked past the cost and saw the joy. He saw you and me becoming His people, who were not a people, who had no God to love and cherish us. Daniel, rise. a symbol of my love for these men that the King bears for each one who prepares and cares for them. Edward, rise. Our God is a good God. Our God loves us tremendously. And He gives us a heritage and an inheritance. We need to take it and take it to heart. Rise, Gary. This is but the beginning. Every man who comes forward and commits their lives, their families, their goods, for the kingdom's sake, I will provide a sword. The sword is to be a remembrance of the love of our King. Let's pray. Come in here, guys. Father, I just ask right now, Lord, that Your anointing fall fresh upon us. God, You know where You're taking us, and we willingly follow. You chose us, God. We didn't choose You. But we responded. God, do not leave us. Do not forsake us. Do not take Your Spirit from us. Help us, God. Help us to lead Your people to live the way You would want us to live, God, at peace with each other. Help us, O Lord, to use our gifts and talents not upon each other, God, but for each other. For the expansion of Your kingdom, God, I pray that You be glorified through us, God. Glorified, God, through our families. God, You have not forsaken us. You have not left us by ourselves. You have promised us good things. And God, You are faithful even to the end. I thank You for these men that You've given to me, God. I thank You for those in streams who are for the first time maybe truly seeing biblically what You have professed for us in this day, God. God, may You receive all praise and all glory in everything that we say and do, no matter the cost to us, God. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.